If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You think you know somebody based on a soundbite or what you see with them in a helmet or a basketball uniform. And they've all had moments of terror. They've all been completely insecure. They've had moments where they were tested. They've had, sure, great moments of triumph, but terrible defeats. They all come from parents. Some are parents that are around. Some are not. Some are a rough dad, a nice dad, or whatever. And then you start building a catalog of these people who are the best of the best, and you go, my God, they're just like everybody else. Hi, I'm Joe Buck. And I've done 24 World Series. I've done 6 Super Bowls. I've done 5 U.S. Opens. I've done like 21 All-Star Games. But you know what I've never done until right now? Off the Beat. This is going to be special.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Off the Beat. I am, well, one, I'm excited, and two, I'm your host. That makes me your excited host, Brian Baumgartner. And I got to say, thank you all for being here today because we're switching things up a bit with today's guest. We're going even further off the beat, if you will. As you probably know by now, I am a big sports fan. And yes, I root for certain teams and I play a lot of golf. But what I truly love about sports is the camaraderie, the energy, the competition, getting lost in great games. And that is why I am so excited for today's guest, who might just know sports better than anyone, the legendary sportscaster, Joe Buck. Now, Joe is going to be the first of several sports guests on the podcast. Don't worry, this is still an entertainment podcast at the end of the day. And by the way, Joe is an entertainer, because yes, he's in sports, and yes, he's called some of the most iconic games of all time, but don't get it twisted. Joe's a TV guy, and he has to draw in an audience. And because currently his programming happens to be live, he actually gets the biggest audiences on television today. And if you've ever heard this man talk, you know exactly what I mean. His voice is iconic, and he has had an insane career, from becoming Fox's youngest regular NFL announcer to hosting his own shows to signing on to broadcast now for Monday Night Football on ESPN. Plus, he's a podcaster too, hosting the crazy, funny, and interesting Daddy Issues podcast with Oliver Hudson. And yes, that is actually the title. I won't keep you waiting. I can't wait for you to hear this man's voice and this man's stories. Here he is, the amazing Joe Buck.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every morning, left over from the night before.
What's up, Joe?
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look professional, as you should. It's what you do for
you know, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but I'm happy to be here. Thank you for doing the thing on ESPN the other day. That was fun. I hope you had fun.
I had a great time. Michael Collins is he's a hoot, right?
He's awesome. Yeah. I had never really been around him much.
Okay.
Except when he was doing a radio show with Pat Perez, and Perez was here in St. Louis playing in the PGA a few years ago, and they all came over to my house, and I ended up hanging with him most of the night. And so when that whole thing came up, I was like, I got to do it with Michael because he can carry it. I mean, I don't have to really do much.
That's awesome. Well, I want to talk about your new big move and some of your notable accomplishments, but I really want to start back. By the way, it seems like everyone I've talked to is from Kansas, Missouri. I mean, I don't know what is in the water down there, Joe, but like Stone Street and Riggle and Koechner, all
Rudd.
Of these. Rudd,
Koechner,
all of
Rudd, Sudeikis.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, oh, you think New York, Chicago, comedy scene at Chicago, and now everyone is from the middle of the country. So I don't know. I don't know what that says.
I don't know what that says either. I first met Paul Rudd when we were in college. His roommate was my best friend from high school. So we all kind of congregated at Indiana University, which is where I was. They came to visit me, and then I returned the favor the next year. And so I've known Paul since I was 18. And then prior to that, John Hamm. John Hamm is another one who was dating the sister of the previously mentioned best friend. So I've known this little group of people, and then it becomes 6 degrees of, my friend's name is Preston Clark, but it's really 6 degrees of Rudd and Ham for me,
right?
Getting to know Adam Scott and different guys that they all interacted with when we were in our early 20s. So, I was the sports guy, they were the cool guys. And, you know, all I was good for was getting them tickets to different events,
Which actually makes you the most popular guy in the whole group.
Yeah, for a while, you know, Rudd was doing, you know, God knows what, Clueless, yeah. Object of My Affection, and Ham was Mad Men. He was Mr. Yeah. Mad Men. So my cool factor dwindled.
Yeah, well, I just had Mr. Ham on the podcast, so we talked a lot about St. Louis. And now you're originally from Florida. Is that right? Or you were born in Florida?
Yeah, I was basically born in a cardboard box in Florida during spring training because my dad was down in St. Pete and my mom couldn't travel after spring training was over. So end of April, I popped into the world. But I'm a Floridian by birth only. And then I came to St. Louis 6 minutes later, and I've been here ever since.
Right. Your family, for those of you who don't know, Jack Buck, the other legendary sportscaster, your dad, but you I understand it wasn't necessarily he that brought you into your current profession, even though you literally followed in his footsteps. Is that right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I know where you're going with that. My dad for sure is the main reason why I am who I am. I do what I do. I fell in love with broadcasting and sports because of him, because, you know, he and I were best friends. He traveled constantly, but always took me with him. I think I was in every National League city by the time I was 12. I was in Vegas and on my own while he rolled craps all night and I was playing Donkey Kong on whatever $20 bill he handed me, and checking myself back into the room and eating room service while he was up all night trying to make a little money. Right. But my mom was the one that kind of pushed it forward. When Fox dropped out of the sky and they got the rights to cover the NFC and bought those rights for an exorbitant price back in 1994, they took CBS out of the game. And I remember at the time, I was hosting a radio show in St. Louis, and I was in my early 20s, and I thought, this is a travesty. I mean, we're going to have, you know, Joan Rivers and Bart Simpson doing the games, and I was, you know, just apoplectic about it. And then shortly thereafter, my mom said, well, I gave your videotape to Patty Goren. Her husband, Ed, is running Fox Sports, and they want to fly you out for an audition. So that is something my dad would have never done. He would have never been the one to push me on anybody. But my mom, you know, was that person, thank God. So I got flown out there during the spring of 1994, and I was 24 at that time, and I was doing a game. I'd never done football in my life, and I was practicing for my audition with my dad doing color for me while we sat in his living room. And then I flew out to LA, did the game off a TV in a studio, and they basically, like Slugworth and Willy Wonka, came walking into me after the audition was over and said, you better get an agent because we're going to be hiring you. You did well. So it was off and running after that. So without my mom pushing that, I would have never even known about the auditions, and my dad sure as heck wasn't going to do that.
Right. You know, I read your mom, she was an actress and a singer and an entertainer as well. Do you feel like there is any part of your style that is different from your dad because of your mom's influence early on?
Yeah, I think so. I think my mom was actually a really good influence on my dad. My mom was my dad's second wife. And by the time my mom came into his life, his career, unbeknownst to either one of them, was about to take off, because Harry Carey, everybody now knows him as the longtime voice of the Cubs. But prior to that, he was the Cardinals announcer. He got fired at the end of the 60s, and I was born in 69. And that's kind of when my dad ascended to the number one spot with the Cardinals. And my mom, you know, being somebody that was comfortable walking out on a stage and singing and dancing, I mean, she auditioned for Abe Burrows back in the day on Broadway. And that's Jim Burrows' dad, for those of you who don't know. And Jim Burrows, one of the most, you know, accomplished producers in the history of television. I think she was very aware of how to entertain a crowd. And I think she helped my dad with a lot of the speaking engagements he did. And as you guys would say in your business, punching up a script or a speech that he would put together and make it more fun and more funnier. And so I saw that. And I think I pull as much from my mom as I do my dad. I the style is a bit different. You know, I didn't smoke for 60 years, so I don't sound like this. It's how my dad got me up for school in the morning. Get up, Buck. Come on, get your ass out of bed. And I don't have that. Right. But I think there are some similarities in the style. I try to have fun as much as you can in today's world. And he was all about that. Dad was kind of an off the cuff, funny, good, grounded dude that just treated everybody nicely. So I get plenty from both. Trust me, I was very lucky.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm going a little bit out of order here, but I've never told you this. You know, so I'm a little bit young for Al Michaels, right? And do you believe in miracles? Like I was alive at that time in 1980, but that wasn't for me the most iconic and heartbreaking call that I remember a sportscaster delivering, and specifically to me, into my heart and ripping it out, was your dad, Jack Buck, in 1991. I grew up in Atlanta. And I would say today, the greatest World Series in the history of World Series that I've ever seen or read or know about as a huge baseball fan, the Atlanta Braves against the Minnesota Twins. And that home run in game six, and your dad's gravelly voice filled with the emotion that gravelly voice could give, him saying, "And we'll see you tomorrow night." And I had it on VHS tape because I was sure the Braves were going to win that game. Oh, you know, yeah. It was like that was going to be my VHS tape. And I have watched that. And the director, whoever, I don't know if it was I don't know who it was, but cutting to Charlie Liebrandt's face and him walking off as stoically as possible and then halfway to the dugout, wiping, and the silence that your dad gave, amazing. I mean, truly, like, even though it ripped my heart out, I knew that was like something special that I saw. And so cutting way ahead, we're skipping way ahead, but in 2011, you gave a nod to your dad in the World Series in 2011, Texas and St. Louis, giving that same call. This was planned, obviously, or was this just in the back of the recesses of your mind?
It was in the back of my mind because prior to the game, it was almost 20 years from that night that right. My dad said it and you were crying on your couch.
And
somebody had said, because my dad did that game with Tim McCarver, and now yes. I'm sitting next to Tim McCarver 20 years later, almost to the day. And somebody said, you know, 20 years ago was that Kirby Puckett home run that forced game seven. And here we are about to start game six. And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. And I, you know, getting ready and whatever. So I think that planted the seed. But you don't know that's the beauty and the fun of what I do is you don't know what's coming down the street at you anytime an inning starts or they kick off or whatever it is. So you're ready for really anything that comes your way. And that game was so, I mean, I know amazing. This is way down into the weeds, but the Cardinals were down 3-2. They were down in the game. They were down to the last strike twice. They tied it twice. And then in the 11th inning, David Fries, who's a kid from St. Louis, hits the home run to center to force game seven. And then that popped out of the back of my mind, out of my mouth, which is, we'll see you tomorrow night, which was, I don't know, on one hand, it was appropriate because there was going to be a game seven the next right. night. On the other hand, maybe it's self-serving. I think I was thinking of him who would have been sitting one booth over to me watching the Cardinals, a team he loved, and this kid, David Fries, become the hero to force that game seven. And so, you know, I retired being a Jack Buck cover band after that night. I was like, that's it. I've done some other things. I've said some things that he said in the past. It's time for me to branch out into my own territory. So I'm not playing. His hits. I'm going to start making my own in these moments. But for that one time,
yeah.
And it was at the end of a crazy year, Brian. I had been through a vocal cord paralysis. I got hair plugs at the beginning, and I talk about all this in my book, which I'm not promoting because you can't find it anywhere. I got hair plugs, got intubated. The tube that they put down my throat sat on the nerve that fired my left vocal cord, and the whole year I sounded like this. I had one vocal cord that was working and one that was just laying there paralyzed.
Right.
And that was about the time my voice started to kind of come back. And that World Series, each game, it got a little bit better. And so by the time game six rolled around, you know, I was going through a divorce. I was on antidepressants. I thought my career was over because I wasn't going to be able to broadcast or even order a coffee in a loud Starbucks. And that moment happened and it forced a game seven. It allowed me to win an Emmy that year in the worst year, not of my career, in the worst year of anybody's career. I sounded like I was dying every time I was doing a game. But yeah, that was a year that was a complete, I don't know what we can or can't say on this, but
say whatever.
It was a shit show. So yeah, you can block that out. But it was crazy. So I'm proud of that moment at the end of a really hard year.
Yeah. You know, I think this is fun. Maybe it's just fun for me, but I'm, you know, sitting here talking to you and thinking about you and your experience and you being there in the booth that night watching that game. And I'll tell you, we have a number of people who worked on The Office who are from St. Louis and who are big Cardinals fans. Phyllis Smith, Jenna Fisher, I think I'm forgetting somebody right now. And so we were shooting at that moment my least favorite episode to shoot in the history of The Office. We were in a pool for 12 to 14 hours a day. And I was explained after complaining after like 6 hours that you could get hypothermia if you're in just a regular temperature pool for that many hours. So they had heated it to like 97 degrees. Being in a pool for 97 degrees is not that much fun for like 15 minutes. And it was like all day long. And we're shooting late, we're running late, everybody's wet and angry, but we had the radio. So I didn't hear your call, but we are following that game and crazy. And we'd be on set and hear people yelling in the background. And we were fully following that game. Now, as someone not from St. Louis, I was rooting for Texas, but just transparently, I was not rooting for St. Louis. But so there was some back and forth, and I don't know, maybe some money changed hands at the end of that night. I don't remember exactly, but it was, it's funny just to hear that. And of course I had, you know, as a big sports fan and baseball fan, I had taped it at home and then heard that call, and then it brought back everything from the '90s. And
well, it's funny. You're making me think of, first of all, Ellie Kemper is the other. Yeah,
Ellie Lewis Kemper. And thank you. Yes. There you go.
And so I was with a friend, I mean, not to name drop, but why not? I haven't stopped yet. Billy Bob Thornton. I was with him at the filming of a movie he did with a friend of mine. Another friend of mine is the reason why I was there. Jason Patrick's called The Alamo, and he's inside, and they're like, Billy Bob or whatever his character's name was. I don't know who he played. We need you on the top of the walk here at The Alamo. He's like, okay. But he's talking to me inside because you can't see. They're shooting all from the outside. And he's talking to me about the Cardinals bullpen. He's a diehard Cardinals fan. He's like, I mean, God, we need a left-hander. The Cardinals do not have a left-hander. And he's like, hold on a second. He walks up and down. They're like, cut. He walks back down. I mean, if they can just get a left-hander, they're going to, it's like nothing even happened. And they're shooting this multi-billion-dollar movie, and all he's caring about is talking about the Cardinals bullpen with me on the inside of the Alamo. It's funny how life goes on in and around these productions, and all people see is, you know, post-edit when everything's all tightened up.
That's right.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Ready to start your new journey? Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Enjoy Zyn nicotine pouches for 10 days and discover a fresher way to experience nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. Here's how to get started with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Simply pick your strength and varieties online and check out. Once your Zyn nicotine pouches arrive in the mail, enjoy pure nicotine satisfaction at your leisure. After your 10-day trial, let us know what you think. If Zyn isn't for you, no hard feelings. It's that simple. Order online at Zyn.com, that's Z-Y-N.com, to start your new journey today with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
You became the youngest person to announce regular NFL games on TV. Did that bring any stress for you? Was that a part of it? But you had so much experience just being around your dad, as you said.
Yeah, but it did. I don't know that would have happened. And the answer to your question, if it happened in 2022, it would be harrowing. It would be, blindfolded on the roller coaster in the dark at Disney World, because it's in today's world with social media, especially when you're doing sports and everybody is so emotionally invested in it, it's a tough go. And for anybody to start at that time, I just turned 25. I'd never done an NFL game in my life. I had done a couple practice games, and I'm standing at Soldier Field on opening day. They're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm standing next to Tim Green, who the year prior was playing, and not only had he never broadcast football, he never broadcast anything. At least I had broadcast some stuff, and he and I are looking at each other like, what in the hell are we doing here? They're about to kick off the Chicago Bears at home, and we're the guys standing here about to call this thing, and this is 1995 or 1994. So if you were to roll the clock forward with social media and all that, I don't know that we would have been able to survive what would have been, I think, a baptism by fire. I think it's changed. That part of my business has changed a lot. Like if somebody's going to follow you on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, generally, they're going to be a fan of yours and all your great work that you've done. For me, I'm sitting there as Switzerland. And so when people hear me do a baseball game in October, they're comparing me to their hometown announcer that all year long has been freaking out for when their team hits a home run and almost sad on the air when the other team hits a home run. Well, now I show up. The stakes are at their highest. And I'm screaming and yelling for that guy's team, but I'm also screaming and yelling for the other team. And all year long, it's weird to the senses for fans, because they're like, why is he yelling and screaming for that other team? I hate this guy. He hates my team. And so it's a long-winded way of saying on Twitter, if I want to go there, I have to bring a snorkel to go in there and wade through all that stuff. And for the 25-year-old me, thank God social media wasn't around. I was established for the most part by the time social media popped up, and I was a little bit more mature and more equipped to handle all that stuff. So was I scared? Yes. But was it like today's world? No. So I figured I would get through the game and go from there. And that's kind of how it went.
Right. I want to talk about football a little bit more, but you also start working with Tim McCarver, as you mentioned before, who worked with your dad to call Major League Baseball as well. Now, your father and Tim, as I understand, had a tumultuous relationship. You start working with him. How was your relationship working with Tim?
It was a 10 out of 10. And I'm proud of a lot of things that first year of doing the World Series at 27 and being at Yankee Stadium. And sorry, they beat the Braves that year. Yeah. And one of my closest friends now, John Smoltz, sorry to rub that in, but yeah. They did. That's history. I had nothing to do with it, Brian. I'm sorry. But I get through that year, and at the end of this World Series in the Bronx, I'm staring into the camera. Tim was off to the side. It was a single shot, and I'm recapping the World Series and all that. And it was such a big exhale. I was literally picturing my dad in the lens of the camera like I was talking to him, because I was kind of, I don't want to say scared, but the nerves were jumping around pretty good. And at the beginning of that year, as you said, when my dad and Tim were paired together in 1990 and 91, my dad, they pushed him up to the number one team. He was initially hired to be on the number two team with Jim Cott, but okay. Brent Musburger got fired. And so they pushed my dad up to work with Tim. And Tim at that time was the king. I mean, he ended up hosting Olympics and stuff. So he was the 800-pound gorilla, and my dad wasn't used to that and really wasn't a TV guy. So it was hard on my dad, and it was hard, consequently, on his family, like me and my mom and my sister, and we were all kind of freaking out with the criticism he was getting and whatever. And a couple times, Tim hung my dad out to dry with a comment that he made, and I was not happy about it. And when they paired us together, the happiest person in the world, when my dad found out that Tim and I were going to be working together, was my dad. And the second happiest was me, because my dad knew that whatever was going to happen on the field, I'd be covered by a guy sitting next to me that had seen and done it all. It wasn't going to be some young guy that had never broadcast or whatever. He knew I was with a veteran. And they ended on good terms. I think the hard part was they just didn't see eye to eye on what the role of the play-by-play guy was and the role of the analyst. So when that season began, I brought him into a room, and we were at a dinner at Fox, and I said, "Can I just talk to you for a minute?" And I was 20, I was a kid, and he was, I don't know what he was then, 50 something. And I said, "Look, you know how I feel about my dad. You know, we're very close. I know you and he did not have a great time broadcasting for those 2 years together. I'm hopeful that we can just hit the reset button and start fresh. Like, I need to build a relationship with you. And the only way this is going to work is if you and I are good together." And he said, "I really appreciate you saying that." Gave me a hug. Off we went. And we were together for 18 years and did, I guess, 16 World Series together. We never had one argument. And I love the man. So it started rough, but it ended great.
That's awesome. Joe, lead play-by-play announcer, taking over for Pat Summerall in 2002 through 2021. Also 23 World Series, 21 All-Star Games for Fox. Baseball or football?
Baseball Game 7. There's nothing like a Game 7. But the game needs some tweaking, and I'm not going to be the guy that gets out of it, because I'm not doing baseball this year for the first time since I was 18, and I'm not going to be critical of it, other than to say I think all parties know that they need to get back to some more action once the inning starts. It's not the overall time of game. It's a lack of action, because these guys are actually really good, and the pitching can be so dominant, and all they're worried about is home runs and launching the ball and blah, blah, blah. I think a game 7, there's just nothing like it. You know, when you consider these guys go to spring training, pitchers and catchers, in mid-February, and now here you are at the end of October, sometimes the beginning of November. They've been going at it that long. And now it's, you know, this team against that team. It's that guy on the mound against that guy at the plate with a bat. and made the better team win. It's just, it's awesome. And it's exciting. And I don't have to do much when I'm sitting there. It's like the game kind of carries itself and you're there to accent it. But football is so big. And these games, the ratings are so crazy compared to everything else that's on TV that when you do a Super Bowl and you're opening your mouth and thinking of something to say and words are coming out and it's going on the televisions of 112 million people, that's stunning. And right. It's one of those, like, you know, the server puts a plate down and says, the plate's really hot, don't touch it. Like, the first thing I do is touch it. Or if you're on a high ladder, don't look down, you look down. It's like, hey, don't think about 112 million people being on the other side of that camera. And then you start thinking about 112 million people being on the other side of that camera. So it's just, it's a different world. But for my sensibilities and what I like to talk about and talk about strategy, a baseball game seven is just the best thing on the planet.
Do you consider yourself an entertainer?
Yeah, maybe not compared to you. But I think the game has changed. Like, the job has changed. If you go back and listen to the broadcasts from people that are considered the all-time greats, and they are, I mean, they were pioneers, but it's like, you know, swing and a ground ball to short. Shortstop picks it up, throws to first. He got him, two out. Like, that doesn't fly today. Like, you right. have to be up on, you know, what's going on in the world. You have to, you know, the job of a television play-by-play guy is you're bringing a replay in, you're talking about a graphic, you're explaining spin rate, whatever it is. And through all that, you have to entertain some, and you have to have some moments of levity. So I think it's more than just cut and dried, I'm a stiff baseball announcer or football announcer. I don't think that works anymore. And, yeah. You know, so you try to find that balance, try not to overdo, you know, being entertaining, but I think you have to sprinkle that in.
Well, it's interesting, you know, being a part of network television for so long. And I mean, what you say is obviously exactly true. I mean, the biggest entertainment programs, the biggest numbers are for football now. You know, it's not scripted television anymore, because that element of the live means if you could watch it when it's happening, that's when you want to watch it. Because it's really hard now, as you say, with your phone and notifications and, you know, the days of like not being able to find out what happens until it's over, if you're a big fan, becomes almost impossible. But yeah, I mean, I think very much so. You are entertaining, but also you truly are the conduit with which we all who watch sports watch the most popular show that people consume live.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I don't know if TiVo's a thing anymore. It's recording proof, as you said. I mean, nobody's ever in the history of time said, hey, don't tell me who wins the Super Bowl, I'm going to watch it next week.
Right.
You can't do it. So, you know, that's what leads to these big numbers if people care. And football is just so different because of fantasy football and because of office pools and because of whatever it is. It's just easier to wrap your head around now a 17-game season as opposed to 162. You know, I tip my cap to all fantasy baseball players, because that's like a job, you know, yeah, every day of, you know, reading who's hurt and who may or may not be in the lineup. And I mean, it's just overwhelming. So it's different than anything else that's out there. It can bring extreme joy. It can bring extreme heartache. I think most of the time when Hollywood tries to recreate it, certainly in film, it falls a little short for whatever reason. And then there are things that happen in these games that if you wrote it, they'd throw out because it would be unbelievable. And people would say, oh, that'll never happen. But stuff does happen that you can never imagine when the day starts. So I take all that, you know, I come from kind of the old world, being around my dad's leg as a kid hanging on to it when we're walking out of the stadium every night, to what we're doing in 2022. Calling the game has not changed, but all of the other stuff has changed. The from the social media and the outside stuff to the inside stuff with how crazy these replays are and cameras and pylons and microphones in the outfield wall and on the second base bag. And, you know, you're trying to make it an immersive live experience, and that carries with it a lot of risk and you know, a lot of intensity from the chair I sit in.
Yeah. You know, you said a moment ago, it brings joy, it brings heartache, but that to me is why I love sports and why I think it is to a large degree pure entertainment, because it brings something. It's going to elicit an emotion to anyone who, you know, who cares about it. That's what I love about sports. And your voice has become synonymous with some of the biggest moments that I've witnessed in sports. Favorite baseball call, 2011 or something else?
I think so. You know, not just because we talked about it and went through it, but I think because of what the game that it ended, that game itself. And I went down and talked to Tony La Russa, the Cardinals manager, right after. And I was like, oh my God, Tony. And he was a great friend to the family. And said, that was crazy. That's unbelievable. And typical Tony's like, well, if we don't win tomorrow, it doesn't mean, you know, Jack. And I'm like, Tony, can you enjoy something for 1 second? Every time I'd walk into his office before the game, I'm like, hey, Tony, what's up? How you doing? I'll let you know at 10 o'clock. Like, I'm not really asking how you're doing. It's just a way of saying hello. I mean, that's just how intense he was. But I, you know, there have been so many great games between the Yankees and the Red Sox that I got to do. The 04 World Series, you know, when you get to be the one to call the Boston Red Sox being world champions for the first time in 86 years. When you get to call the Chicago Cubs being the world champions for the first time in 108 years, you know, you're sitting at Wrigley Field. There hadn't even been a World Series in that stadium since 1945, and they hadn't won since before the Titanic sunk, you know, let alone World War I and World War II and, you know, all that other stuff. So baseball has always been kind of, you know, I'm not going to go into a Field of Dreams monologue, but it has kind of mirrored society, and it's always been there, and you can mark where you were in your life depending on who won the World Series that year. That's kind of how I go about my life. So I, you know, they're all so different. It's hard to pick one, but I think as far as a game, that game six of 2011 was just berserk. It was crazy. And 2001 is another year that gets overlooked for baseball because of everything that was going on in the country after 9/11. But there we are in the beginning of October, and Mariano Rivera, like for one of only two times, I think, in the postseason, blew a save chance in game seven of the World Series, and the Arizona Diamondbacks won the World Series in one of the great series of all time. So you know, you can go year by year by year, and it's just, it's fun to do. And it's also exhausting because they're all so darn good.
Yeah. Your favorite football call for me is easy. The Packers beating the Steelers in 2011, end of the 2010 season. I mean, I think I know what you're going to say, but football, greatest game you ever called?
Well, I mean, you know, not to just piggyback off what you said, but when you can call the Green Bay Packers the world champs and the Lombardi Trophy is going to Green Bay, that's pretty good. But I don't know. I mean, I think the Stephon Diggs call was moment when he had a walk-off touchdown. Rarely do you get a walk-off moment in football that doesn't involve a kicker. Nothing against him, but when Stephon Diggs makes the catch on the sideline against the Saints, a game that went back and forth, and then you just expect out of almost kind of a muscle trigger memory kind of thing that if he makes the catch, he's got to hop out of bounds so they have a chance to win the game with a field goal, and he spins around and nobody's there, and he just takes it into the end zone for a touchdown, and the place felt like it was going to collapse.
Yeah,
it was so crazy. So that's one that just stands out to me. But, you know, I don't know. What did you think I was going to say?
Well, no, I know you've talked a lot about the Patriots' undefeated season and the helmet catch and that game against the Giants with them coming back to win.
Yeah, that's one where I get criticized for the helmet catch. And I just, going back to what we talked about earlier, when you know 112 million people are on the other end, you have to make sure that the catch is made before you're standing on your head. And I didn't really know that the catch was made until we had a second to digest it. And then if you go back and you start screaming and yelling, you kind of feel like you're making it about you.
Right.
Instead of the moment, the David Tyree catch. But that was a great game. I mean, when you're, you know, that was the second Super Bowl that I had done. And so I was still pretty out of my head, nervous. And it's New York, you know, anything involving New York just takes on a bigger feel. And it's against the Patriots, who are going for a perfect season. The game's back and forth, and the Giants take the lead on a Plaxico Burress touchdown. And now it's Brady. And, you know, they're trying to become the second team to go undefeated in a season and win it all. Man, it was one of those where I felt my heart beating. I almost could look down and see my shirt moving. Just not because I was nervous, but because it was just so intense.
Intense.
And your concentration goes to a different level. Like, I'm not a drug guy, but I don't know what drug that would be. But
right.
I was just so laser focused on not screwing it up that I was like almost beside myself. But that was an incredible, incredible game.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, I'm a Packers fan, and I will just mention this last one. I just had a conversation with Randall Cobb, and we talked about, I mean, for me, truly one of the just like blew my mind sports moments that I've seen ever was that catch, about a 50-yard catch against Chicago in Soldier Field for Green Bay to go to the playoffs that year. You called that. I mean, that was just personally.
That was awesome.
Crazy game.
It's funny because, you know, for whatever reason it's out there, Packer fans are like, why do you hate the Packers? And every other fan is like, if Buck and Aikman don't shut up about how great Aaron Rodgers and before him Brett Favre are. I mean, that was Frank Caliendo's shtick with Madden talking, you know, Brett Favre, Brett Favre, Brett Favre, Brett Favre. Like, everything that Brett Favre does is magical. And the same, you know, we carried that forward from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. I just, if I could pick somebody to watch every game, broadcast or not, just watch, it would be Aaron Rodgers. And just because of the way he plays the game and his kind of higher level thinking, catching defenses with too many men and quick snap counts and, you know, stuff around the line of scrimmage. And then the, you know, if you need a Hail Mary, he's your guy too. So, you know, we're huge fans of of Aaron Rodgers, and everybody in Green Bay is like, get out of here, you hate the Packers. And I'm like, I don't see how that's possible. Like, go back to that Randall Cobb call that you just talked about and tell me that, you know, somehow and deep in my soul, I hate the Packers. That was unreal. They've provided us with more great moments on TV than really any team we've covered.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that question because you and I have talked about that a little bit in the past. What fan base do you think, how do I say this?
You can say hate.
Okay. All right. I'll say it like that. What fan base hates you the most because they think you don't like them? Who would it be?
There's a tie at the top.
Or it could be a team that because they're convinced that you love somebody else more or whatever.
Well, that's Chicago because I'm from St. Louis. So,
okay,
you know, doing the Cubs in the World Series to a large portion of their fan base, like, oh, of course, the St. Louis guy whose dad's picture is on the outfield wall in St. Louis is doing this, and we know he hates the Cubs. I'm like, this was the greatest highlight of my life. It's 108 years. Are you kidding me?
Right.
But that's one thing. The other side of it is, it doesn't matter who. If I show up, you know, Boston, they'll give you trouble. New York, definitely. I did a thing on Funny or Die about that, which I'm really proud of. About, you know, different people around the city, the people you would never expect to scream at me about why do you hate the Yankees? Why do you hate the Giants? Why do you hate the Mets? But the one fan base that seems a little more biting than the others is San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, San Francisco fans, I'll never forget doing a Giants World Series game, and the game's over, and I think they had won. And I'm packing all my stuff up in the booth. The stadium's empty. I think it was a blowout win. Stadium's empty. And I hear this little kid yelling, "Mr. Buck, Mr. Buck." And I'm like packing stuff. And I'm, "Hold on one second." And I'm getting stuff. "Mr. Buck." And I, "Hold on one second." And I'm packing stuff into my backpack. And I stand up and I look down, and it's a father and son. And they both give me the finger. And I was like, man, that was special. And I'd love to take a picture of this and show this and show and tell at your school. But yeah, that was a next level one. I got chased into a bar in Boston, the Beantown Pub, one time when the Yankees were playing the Mets. I got chased into the hotel with two guys coming out of the Beantown Pub. But for the most part, people will say something and then they come up and pat you on the back and buy you a drink. You know, it's right. It's never really personal. It's just kind of a thing. So you just, you just have to embrace it almost.
Yeah. For what it's worth, you know, people talk about Philly and they talk about Boston, and I'm not trying to antagonize those fan bases to behave worse than they are. I've had the opportunity to go there. This specifically is football. I've never been more scared than I was at a game at Old Candlestick Park. Never. I thought, I'm not getting out of this place alive. These people are insane.
I know. And they're definitely, if you're not one of them, you're dead to them. Not literally, but they don't have any time for you. And now if you're not one of them and you're calling their games on television, good luck.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Not only did Zyn create the first ever nicotine pouch, we're still America's number one choice for smoke-free, spit-free nicotine satisfaction. It could be because Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients, including naturally derived nicotine salt. Or maybe it's because Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day trial. For anyone worried Zyn won't cut it like traditional tobacco, just ask one of the millions of people who have achieved lasting change.
You have lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at Zyn.com/find. That's Zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Anything different for you from your time doing other shows besides calling the game? You know, you also did Joe Buck Live for a while.
The Artie Lang show. That was the Artie Lang episode of Joe Buck Live on HBO.
Yeah.
Which to some people I'll never live down, even though Artie and I became friends the next day and I wrote the foreword to his book. But yeah, I think you bring a little more calm to the broadcast for whatever reason when you do interview shows. Or, you know, I've been on Brockmire, I've been on Stern a couple of times. Yeah. And I think that it gives an opportunity for people to see the other side of you. And that's really why I do any of that stuff. It's people have an impression of who they think you are based on calling balls, strikes, home runs, touchdowns, whatever. And that's the smallest fraction of who I am. I feel like I've got a decent sense of humor. I feel like I'm a good dad on the dad scale. I feel like I've done well with my four kids so far. I haven't raised an axe murderer to my knowledge. And I feel like I've got a lot more sides than what I get to show during the course of a baseball, football game, golf, whatever it is. So that's why I do that stuff. And it gives me a little extra, you know, something when I walk back into the play-by-play booth to call the next game. So, I think it really helps me.
Well, and for what it's worth, in a large degree, that's why I'm doing this too. I mean, I have very much been defined as one very specific type of person through my work as well. But more for me doing this, you know, especially with sports, and guys like you, you know, I feel that it truly is one of the great blessings of my life. And what I ended up doing in my life is the ability to meet guys like you at the American Century Championship there in Lake Tahoe, and Michael Jordan's event, or Derek Jeter's event, or, you know, various golf events around the world, because I am such a huge sports fan. And it's so much fun for me to hear the stories and also get to know guys like you who are exactly very different than just calling balls and strikes.
Yeah. And I think what it does is it gets you behind the rope to learn the big secret that they're just people. They're
right.
People who are incredibly gifted, but who work extremely hard at their craft, whether it's throwing a football, catching one, shooting a hockey puck, shooting a basketball, whatever it is. That is no different than me trying to show, you know, I don't go to bed like calling play-by-play of me putting my toothpaste on my toothbrush and my wife doing the same. And you're not, you know, walking around the house reciting lines from The Office. You've got, you know, other stuff that makes you tick and go and get you excited. And the point is, you think you know somebody based on a soundbite or what you see with them in a helmet or, you know, a basketball uniform, whatever it is. And they've all had moments of terror. They've all been completely insecure. They've had moments where they were tested. They've had, sure, great moments of triumph, but terrible defeats. They all come from parents. Some are parents that are around, some are not. Some are a rough dad, a nice dad, or whatever. And then you start building a catalog of these people who are the best of the best. And you go, my God, they're just like everybody else. When I talked to Michael Phelps on that show, and we showed the picture of him on the Sports Illustrated cover with 20 plus medals around his neck, I said, what do you think of when you see that picture? And he said, I see a guy with big ears and an awkward smile who got picked on the playground. And I said, well, for the rest of the world, all we see are the medals. And, you know, it was the same thing, like when he went to rehab and what that was like and being just shaken. And you just realize that everybody's trying their best and everybody's trying to get through the world. And yes, they have these moments on the court, the ice, whatever, but God, they're also flawed human beings just like you and me.
That's right. You have a podcast with my good friend as well, Oliver Hudson, Daddy Issues. You're talking about family on the podcast? How is that for you?
It's great. If I could ever get Oliver to return texts and actually set up time when we're going to record our stupid thing. We've had great guests. I mean, we've had Eddie Vedder and Mark Cuban. And I mean, it's a long list of people that mainly I know for some reason. I don't know anybody that could be Goldie Hawn's son and Kurt Russell's stepson and Kate Hudson's brother and Wyatt Russell's brother. He knows nobody. Nobody will return his call. And that's why he's got daddy issues. His dad, Bill Hudson, walked out of the family when he was around 10 years old, and he's been going to therapy ever since. Now he's a dad, and he's got a boy that's about to start high school, and he's got two younger kids. And, you know, I've got girls that are in their mid-20s. One's acting. One just finished film school at USC. And then I've got four-year-old twin boys. So we've got kids up and down the line. Yeah. And it's more about being, you know, he's 45, I'm 53, married, in my case, divorced, remarried, more kids, you know, all the stuff he deals with of feeling like the black sheep of the family. And yet I'm close with the rest of his siblings and his parents, and they all think he's the most talented, but he's never tapped into all that. So that's kind of the through line of the podcast. Yeah. And then there's just a bunch of junk that follows.
Well, I have to tell you, I think this is the greatest compliment anyone could give you, because it's what I observe and it's what I've heard from my own bizarrely unique spot in the locker room, being the golf course. I cannot imagine athletes could speak any higher of you than they do. You have their respect. And that is not universally true, by the way, without mentioning anybody else's name, that people respect the job that you do, the amount of work and research you put into it, and how respectful you are in calling the games. And for me, by the way, you and Troy, I mean, the best in the business. Best in the business.
I appreciate you saying that. That from somebody like you, that means a lot. And I think sometimes everybody is so quick to absorb all the negative, and then when somebody says something nice, you just kind of gloss over it because I'm not good at compliments. But I will tell you this. When my dad dropped me off at AAA my first year, we drove up from spring training from Florida, and he dropped me in Louisville, and then he went on to St. Louis. On the way up, he told me a couple of things. He said, one, you've been watching big league baseball your whole life. Unless you think, as the play-by-play guy of these minor league guys, that you could make that play 10 times out of 10, realize that they're trying their best and don't criticize that way. The game is way harder than we all realize, especially when you're sitting up in the broadcast booth. Two, same deal with the umpires. You know, like, lay off. It's easy to get, you know, our pitcher's not getting anything. They're not getting any call. Just lay off, call the game, shut up. Three, nobody cares if the announcer's hot. Nobody cares if you're in the booth and you're cold. Nobody cares if you're tired. Just call the game. And most importantly, if you get hit by a bus going into the game, realize that they're still going to play the game. They're not going to stop the game. It's still going to be on the radio, and people are still going to listen to it. It doesn't. So don't act like anybody's ever gone up and down the dial going, where's the Joe Buck game? No, this is where's the Cardinal game? Where's the Packer game? Where's the Cubs game? Where's the Braves game? It's not smart. You. So don't act like they're listening for you. So I think with regard to the players, hopefully nobody feels like I've been unfair when I'm calling games. And hopefully they know that the person up there that's calling what they do for a living cares to do a good job and puts work into it. And that's kind of how I go about it.
Yeah. Big move this spring. You're moving to ESPN. And as you said, no baseball now. You okay with no baseball?
I am. I had told Fox that this was going to be my last year doing it. You know, after you do, it would have been my 25th World Series. I feel like that's enough. It's for those keeping track, it's the most anybody has ever called on play-by-play. I walk away now tied with Tim McCarver for most ever by anybody, and I like that. And none of that stuff really matters to anybody, including me, but I think it's just time for a new voice. And then for ESPN, I never thought I would work at ESPN. It just was like, that's over there. I'm at Fox. I've been here since I was in my mid-20s. I'm now almost, you know, mid-50s. I've lived my whole life over here. And then their situation with Troy unraveled. Troy ends up at ESPN. I was like, well, I mean, I'm only signed one more year. I love working with Troy. I want to keep working with Troy. Let's see if we can make this happen. And another layer that nobody, you know, puts together is my wife does the Monday Night Countdown interview. So she does the profile personality interview with a player in that Monday night game. So now she and I are going to work on the same nights, and we've got these 4-year-old twin boys at home. So it was just like everything was lining up. Like, if we can make this happen somehow, and ESPN wanted it to happen, it was only up to Fox to let me out of the last year of my deal, that this would be a good time to kind of force some change. And I think change is good. You know, I talked to the guy that hired me at Fox when I was in my mid-20s, David Hill, who built that network. I called him, and I let him kind of have the final say in my brain, because I was going back and forth on it. And Fox offered me an extension, and it wasn't like they were sick of me yet. But David Hill said, the 10 years I've been gone from Fox have been the most rewarding years of my life. And for you, you've done the same thing over and over and over again at the same place with the same people. You're going to be nervous before your first Monday Night Football game. That's good. You're going to grow. And he said, if you're asking me, I think you should leave. And once he said that, then I put the full court press on, and now here we are. So I can't wait. I just wish I was working.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Am I seeing you in a couple weeks?
I will see you, my friend. Hopefully they can put us together that first day. That'd be a blast. Are you there to like hold Aaron Rodgers' hand? You probably have group. Yeah, I'm not going to crash your party.
No, that's why. See, that's the thing, is that's why I asked if you're an entertainer, because then now that you said yes-ish, or I made you say yes, then that means we can, you know, they like the first day, they like to put like people together, you know, like they'll put him with quarterbacks and me with entertainers, maybe me, you, and Larry the Cable Guy, something like that.
I'm watching that. I'm not. No. Although he's gotten better, right? He's a better golfer now than
he has gotten better.
Yeah. All right. Good. I would like that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Best of luck to you at ESPN. I'll start reaching out to get tickets now once we hit the fall.
Anytime. Anytime.
And we'll do it. Thanks so much, Joe. I'll see you in Green Bay.
All right, Brian. See you, buddy.
Joe, what more is there to say? Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time. I cannot wait to listen to you on, well, Monday Night Football next season. And I'm going to take some notes next time I listen to your podcast. Listeners, you should definitely do the same. And of course, we will see you next week for another episode of the podcast. How far off the beat will we go? Will we even be able to see the beat? I'm going to say yes, but only time will tell. See you next week. Off the Beat is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Ling Lee. Our producers are Diego Tapia, Liz Hayes, Emily Carr, and Hannah Harris. Our talent producer is Ryan Papa Zachary. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by my great friend, Creed Bratton, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.
If you're a smoker or dipper looking to make a change, you really only need one reason to do it. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you can find many. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. It's made with only 6 simple ingredients. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch with a 10-day hassle-free trial. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.